broadcast is sponsored by Parkside Student Residence. With state-of-the-art accommodations and amenities and located steps from campus, you'll feel right at home. Visit live-parkside.ca to apply today.
Hello, Ryerson, and welcome back for another episode of Ryersonian This Week. I am Dana Dwake.
And I am Logan Ross. We're bringing you all the news you need to know at Ryerson this week.
The TTC approved the UPass program this week. We spoke to RSU Vice President Education Daniel Liss to get the inside scoop on the discounted student transit program.
And make sure you stick around for some expert advice from your lovely hosts in our segment Just Wondering, as well as an acoustic performance by Battle of the Bands group Burn Apollo.
You've probably heard about UPass once or twice this past year. UPass is a discounted student transit program which gives students unlimited access to the TTC. In other words, it's a cheaper replacement for the TTC's current post-secondary MetroPass. Student representatives from Ryerson, the University of Toronto, OCAD University, and George Brown College have been pushing for the UPass program. And on Tuesday, the TTC board voted in favor of UPass. Daniel Liss, Vice President Education of the Ryerson Students Union, has been campaigning for UPass for over a year. This week, I caught up with him in his office.
Daniel, congratulations on getting the UPass approved by the TTC board.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
How did you feel when the TTC voted in favor of the UPass program?
Overwhelmed with emotion, genuinely. When the final vote happened and it was unanimous, we all applauded, all of us that were there. There was my counterpart at UTSU. We had brought some students from Ryerson to advocate to council to push it through. And I've been working on this with my colleagues for over a year now. And to see something like that come to fruition, it's very touching, you know, to see the work that you've put in not go to waste.
Other universities in Ontario and in Canada already have the UPass.
Yes, more than 30.
And why do you think it took so long for someone to do something about it here?
It's almost ironic that it's taken the longest to happen here when we have the largest commuter base, but at the same time, that's kind of the reason it didn't happen. All other universities have much larger residence bases, and so as a result they have a smaller community population. Because Ryerson's commitment to transit is so large, there's limited additional revenue that the TTC would be guaranteeing for itself through this program. So as a result, they can only give us so much of a discount.
Do you think students will vote in favor of the UPass in the referendum, given the fact that not everybody uses the TTC?
I do think it will pass. I certainly hope it will pass, and I will be doing my part as a student to push it to pass. Having a UPass, including your tuition, allows it to be covered for OSAP. So this is essentially providing a route for low-income students to have free transit, or essentially covered transit by the government. A UPass also will allow for our students to consider living a little bit further from campus where rent is cheaper. For drivers, drivers pay more in 1 week for parking downtown than they would in a month of this pass. I've encouraged drivers to consider switching to public transit. You can give me any population, any demographic on campus, and I'm sure I can find you a way that this UPass can speak to that student and can be of value.
And how do you think this is going to affect students who are coming outside of Toronto, who take the GO Transit, for example? Is the goal going forward to do something with the GO Transit?
Metrolinx and Ministry of Transportation Ontario did seem interested in providing a GO version of UPass. It hasn't been done before, so it'd be completely new territory, but they did pose some sort of interest. And they encouraged us to reapproach them once the TTC version of the UPass was first complete.
So what is the next step now for UPass to become a reality for students?
So the next step would be next Thursday, March 29th, is the Board of Governors bi-monthly meeting. And I'll be presenting to them there our referendum question. And if they approve the referendum question, which hopefully they will, the question will be posed to the student body. So in September, there will be a referendum question, hopefully. And if that were to pass, then the following year, in September 2019, a UPass could be implemented.
So you mentioned the referendum is going to take place. Is there a specific number of students that have to vote for it to make a difference?
In order for the referendum to pass, it needs to be 50% plus one student. So it just needs to be a simple majority of students need to vote in favor of the UPass for the referendum to pass.
Great. Thank you for speaking with me, Daniel.
No worries.
All the best with the referendum.
Thank you.
That was RSU Vice President Education Daniel Liss, who will be presenting the UPass program to the Board of Governors on March 29th. Hey, Dana, do you remember getting all those weird and wacky security incident emails from Ryerson all the time?
Oh, yeah. They used to flood my inbox. They kind of dried up. What happened to them?
Well, they're back now, but Ryerson Security and Emergency Services stopped sending them for over a month. Between February 6th and March 19th, no security incidents were sent out.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, especially since every security incident email starts with, "At Ryerson, we believe an informed community is a safer community," which kind of goes against keeping us in the dark about incidents around campus. On March 19th, the Ryerson security website was flooded with 15 security alerts after the month-long delay. Our very own Ryersonian crack team, Lisa Cumming and Alina Ghosh, asked Ryerson's executive director of community safety, Denise Campbell, what was going on. Campbell sent them a statement saying the department underwent staffing changes in early February, which caused a shift in responsibilities. She said alerts were postponed because of this shift and that the month-long delay was due to human error. This semester, we found out about bedbugs crawling in the nooks and crannies of the Victoria building. Apparently, students and professors complained about the bedbugs as early as November of last year, but nothing was done until a recent story by the Eye-Opener made all those complaints come to the surface. And there are other maintenance concerns at Ryerson. This week, the Ryersonian found that an office in the Monetary Times building has been without heat for 4 months. Alina Ghosh has this story.
In the midst of this year's harsh winter, an office in Ryerson's Monetary Times building was without heat for 4 months. Despite repeated complaints from those who work in the office, the heating system remained broken. Kevin Zhang is a PhD student and TA who works in the office. He says he's been sending complaints about the lack of heating since November.
Supposedly there's supposed to be heat coming from these. I thought it was just radiators. The radiators, if you put your hand here, you can feel that there's nothing, like at all. It's cold. I think facilities was like, if we just ignore them long enough, it'll be spring and then they'll stop complaining, right?
Tarek Gazel also works in the Graduate Studies office. He's an international student who recently arrived in Canada. Gazel says he's not used to the harsh Canadian winters and didn't expect to deal with the cold indoors as well.
When I arrived here, I was expecting that all the offices are heated. And then when I arrived, they said, no, the heater is not working. And actually back home, the temperature in the winter is like positive 16. So when I arrived here, it was like negative 10 and negative 15. So I'm not totally used to the cold.
While others in the office have bought personal space heaters, Gazel says he couldn't.
I just arrived and I'm an international student and I can't afford actually, to be honest, like buying a heater or something.
This week, after numerous complaints from students and a call to facilities and development management from the Ryersonian, staff have finally fixed the heating system. According to Zhang, the repair only took 2 hours. While we reached out to Ryerson for comment, they have yet to provide one on this matter. For Ryersonian This Week, I'm Alina Ghosh.
Hopefully you'll feel a little less itchy with this news. The Victoria building is now back in full service. Classes have resumed in Vic 203 and 205 after they were treated for bedbugs last weekend. The first, second, and third floors of the building were steam treated. Vic 205 was also heat treated to kill any surviving bugs. The banding around all of the desks has been replaced to seal crevices that these critters used for nesting. Facilities Management and Development said this is a temporary measure until the desks are replaced.
Many of us know what it's like to have a sister, but at a time when women are mobilizing, the definition of sisterhood is being reshaped. Alia Youssef, a Ryerson photography graduate, has her first solo photo exhibition called Like a Sister. Her showcase includes portraits and video footage of women and is all on display at the Ryerson Art Space on Queen West. I caught up with her at the gallery to learn more about the exhibit and why she decided to take on this project.
I think I started this project because I was curious and questioning what sisterhood looked like in my own life. So I think what I was hoping for is for people to kind of go through that same process, for people to think about what sisterhood meant to them and how they could better improve sisterhood in their life or not, or just appreciate the sisterhood they already have better. It was really just a show to provoke looking inward and looking at female relationships.
Yusuf says that with the feminist movement picking up in the past few years, the definition of sisterhood may have changed.
The term is really old and used to really mean only family relationships or relationships within religion. So it was really just me inserting myself into everyday relationships and events, looking at how people experience sisterhood now.
Through Like a Sister, Yusuf found that sisterhood means a lot more now than it used to.
What I figured out during this project is that being a sister to one another really just means having someone's back and supporting them no matter what, and that you're going to be there for them no matter what they need or when they need it. It's kind of like your responsibility to that person to be there for them. And I think with all the women in these photographs is that they're really each other's like family. They're each other's chosen family.
The showcase will be on until April 6th at the Ryerson Art Space at 1214 Queen Street West, attached to the Gladstone Hotel. Gallery hours are from 1 to 8 p.m. Wednesday to Friday and 12 to 7 p.m. on the weekend.
Now is about as good a time as any to remind all of you listeners that tonight at 7:30, the doors at the Mattamy Athletic Center are being blown wide open by Ryerson's very own Battle of the Bands. The competing bands are Funny Funk, Love Wagon, Jack Pine, Mauve Grove, The Gyms, and Burn Apollo, but only one band will stand victorious at the end of the night. The grand prize, you ask? A spot at Riverfest Alora Music Festival and a paid gig with the RSU in the fall. Tickets are $6 and doors open at 7:30 tonight. Rock on, Rams!
Now, welcome back for another week of Just Wondering. In case you missed the last episode, this is where we answer your burning questions. This week, we asked professors what they wanted to know. First up...
Hey, I was just wondering, what can we do to make students feel like they can trust us more?
To be honest, I've never, like, not trusted a professor.
I would say that maybe, you know, doing things like having a bin of candy on your desk. Even stuff like that, Dana.
All right, yeah. Let's hear the next question.
Hey, I was just wondering, how do we get students to do their readings?
Oh, I hate readings, man.
Yeah, I think that that's a lost cause. I really have to be in a certain time and place to want to do a reading. And even then, it's just a couple minutes and I'm out. What's your experience, Dana?
I think they need to keep them realistic. Like, don't ask us to read 200 pages in a week. We're not going to do that. So, like, just give us... like a summary of what we need to know. I mean, one thing that kind of worked for me once was a professor quizzed us on the readings. So I kind of did them because it was like participation marks. So he forced us to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I think that if you are marking your students on keeping up with their readings and you're including sort of micro marks into that, then that can work too. I think you would be more motivated to at least read the Spark Note.
Hopefully that helped some professors out there. That's all for this week. Tune in next week for more questions. It's Friday, March 23rd, and that wraps up our show for today.
Be sure to check us out on ryersonian.ca and follow us at Ryersonian on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can also give us a listen by subscribing to Ryersonian This Week on iTunes or Google Play.
A big thank you to those who made this show happen, Angela Glover and Alina Ghosh.
For Ryersonian This Week, I am Dana Dwake.
And I'm Logan Ross. But wait, before you go... Battle of the Bands group Burn Apollo joined us in studio this week.
Hey, you're listening to Ryersonian This Week. We're Burn Apollo, and this is Telephone. I'm never gonna find a reason. I'm never gonna find a way. I'm never gonna see the day that I come home. Never gonna find a reason. I'm never gonna find a way. I'm never gonna see the day. Oh. on the telephone. Leave me to find a way back to your home, and I won't figure it out tonight. I won't fight. I won't find a reason to give you all the questions that I'd never ask, and I would never like to see them again. I'm never gonna find a reason. I'm never gonna find a reason.